people will find a way.
Mm.
Once they hear the
letter, let us just close the door and start. Firstly, on behalf of the committee, I'd like to apologize to the department for being a little late. We are sorry, but we hope that the presentation is not as long as not to allow some questions at the end, given the nature of the presentation and the steps that appear in the presentation. But among the issues that we would be interested as representatives of the public representatives would be issues like electricity when we were back up. We have seen after a few matches some blackouts. Are we having backup generators that have been had dry runs to make sure that in the actual run we are not embarrassed? Secondly, the issues of winter, the winter season, which is the peak season for the use of electricity, which then means that we are much more likely to have power shortages and perhaps blackouts. Are we prepared for blackouts in terms of energy? The second issue is the issue of the arena for sale of art, crafts, flags, mementos, and other paraphernalia that could be used by small enterprises and individuals to advance their trade in terms of sustainable livelihoods. Concerns around pricing and which goes together with standards and perhaps how are we going to, in case we have exorbitant pricing, how are we going to brand FP tourism separately to avoid being associated with that type of pricing in the future, given the fact that this is one of the steps in towards the future. The issue of transport. Are we ready? Did we learn something from the Confederation Cup? Are we doing some dry runs in terms of transport? Did we get any lessons? We just had a big match between Pirates and Chiefs in Johannesburg. Did we get some lessons from that match? Did we practice perhaps in order to improve? The issue of customer service, communication, creating awareness in different public, it could be schools, it could be whatever public. Then the issue of the injection of for an inclusive economy. Are we going to get a little more inclusive this time around in order to prepare for the long term more inclusive economy? Well, then the question of opportunities that we foresee for jobs and temporary livelihoods during the period, the issues of safety, and other issues that arise, some of them have arisen in the press, and so forth, in order to make our country a great destination for tourism. These are the concerns of the committee. That is where we come from. And then, as you give your presentation, I think we'll be having those things, some of our benchmarks, and because they are fears not only of the committee, but of many people outside there. And so over to you. Mr. Tarase, Chief Director of the Office of the Teacher. That is this Tarase or Tarase?
Tarake.
Tarake, oh. Sorry.
That's okay.
The floor is yours, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members. We welcome this opportunity to come and share what sort of preparations have been going on with regards to tourism specifically and the 2010 World Cup in general for the event. The presentation will focus on a number of things. We will look at the whole issue of accommodation. We would also like to share information with regards to the team-based camps, but we'll try to also cover aspects that relate to team-based camps. The intention thereof is to demonstrate the relationship between the team-based camps, the likelihood of people staying closer to their teams who will be coming into the country, and also issues related to transportation, accommodation, and how those matters then get to be handled. We are also going to just look at the trends around ticketing, and we will then look at the issues around customer services and skills development, but it's basically the whole issue of service excellence. We will look at the issues of information in terms of the dissemination thereof, when people arrive here, what are they going to find, and whether people are actually going to be able to know how to go about to explore South Africa further than just the game. Transportation issues, we'll cover that. We'll also cover issues of safety. In those two areas, what we would try and emphasize on is what tourism's interest is, mainly within those particular specific areas. We'll look at the issues of marketing and branding. Obviously, the marketing issues far more important because we want the people to actually come to the country. And we'll look at some of the events which are coming in the near future, but some of them will be linked to the marketing as well. That's the picture. What it actually shows is the team-based camps. Gauteng has got what they call a lion's share. 19 teams will be in Gauteng, the smallest province geographic-wise, but the teams have chosen. Usually the choice is done by the coach. So the coach decides, it will make more sense for me to take my team. The chances of getting through the game will be better if they acclimatize to that particular environment and the conditions, which is why Uruguay has chosen to go to Northern Cape. And some of the games they're going to play are not in Northern Cape. So the one in Northern Cape is Uruguay. They wanted to acclimatize to that in the desert. One of the teams that has come to Eastern Cape is the French. And they want to go to a place that is more resembling of where they actually would have had a team-based camp at their own home. So that's the picture. It's quite unfortunate. We don't have any team in Eastern Cape. We don't have any team in Limpopo. There's no team in Free State. I will skip this slide. The reason for that is because they just give you the details of which team, where they're staying, and so on. So honorable members can go through this slide and just look at that. It's quite interesting, particularly where people want to go and see teams practicing and so on. So at least you know exactly where they are staying, where they are playing, and so on. So these slides are just meant for that. This map look at the stadium and the capacity of each stadium, but it will all link up as we go further in terms of why we are actually also reflecting on the capacity of the stadium. Now, honourable members, last December, Minister released results of an audit that was undertaken by the department. It was an independent audit in terms of the commissioning. We were assisted by AfriGIS that actually went through a process of verification of the different establishments that are in the country. And what it yields is that we do have about 18,882 establishments in the country. That amounts to approximately 202,000 rooms. Now, if you were to convert that into beds, it goes up to almost 400,000 beds. Our anticipation and our marketing efforts are geared at getting 350 to 400 plus thousand people. So we are saying that we do have sufficient accommodation. This is people that are in the tourism business. It doesn't include any other person who wants to accommodate people, but not necessarily in the tourism business. Now, this is a breakdown of this accommodation that I was talking about. But this is the host city, and we are using 50-kilometer radius. It's just a demonstration of how much accommodation is available 50-kilometer radius away from the stadium. And if we were to look at, for instance, Johannesburg, you've got 26,000 rooms. And that is within the proximity of 50-kilometer radius from each of the different stadiums that are actually within that particular host city. The better picture is this one, where you can actually see where are these 18,000 rooms. If you were to look at Eastern Cape, you've got a total of establishments which are 2,100. We don't even have a host city, we don't even have a team-based camp there. But people will have to go there and stay in these rooms because there are teams that are going to play in Eastern Cape. So people that are going to be staying there in and around the stadium will have to use that particular accommodation. So even though there is no team-based camp, it doesn't mean that people are not going to use that particular accommodation that is available in that particular city. And it goes on, and those are the different ones. This picture here is, I don't know if it's clear. The picture is the match contracted rooms. What this picture says, if we look at, it's according to the categories of accommodation that are available. If we were to look at what was in the inventory as of the 11th of December, that was the date that MERJ and the establishments that had signed the contract had agreed, if there are rooms that have not been taken up, 50% of those rooms will be released. So if I had contracted with MERJ for four rooms, and by that particular period, two rooms had already been taken up by the people that have made the bookings, MERJ would then release at least one room, and only one room will remain with MERJ. And I can then go on and market that independently. But what this picture tells us is that whereas we had 48,000 rooms on the 11th of December, when they released some of those rooms, we ended up with 42,000 rooms. These are the rooms that are with MERJ. So these are establishments that have contracted with MERJ, and this is after that release that I was talking about. But what is interesting about this picture is that if you look at the parts that are green there, it suggests that apartments actually went up by 442 rooms, and universities went up by 2.5 rooms, 2,520 rooms. So what it begins to suggest is that perhaps there are more people that are coming who would also want to actually access a certain price level. And not necessarily because of the price is high or so, but because of the nature of the people that are actually coming here. Because World Cup normally would take everybody. So there is a greater demand. These are probably the youth that would come here, and under normal circumstances would probably have come as backpackers and so on. But it says that there is an increase in those two categories. Now, this other picture tells us another story. It says that in those two categories, they seem to be largely in Johannesburg and in Pretoria. But that's where apartments are largely. But the other picture that comes out of this is that besides those apartments, there is a large number of teams that are actually going to be coming to that particular area. So Gauteng would then have 19 teams. So it means a whole lot of people that would be coming would actually be coming to that particular place. The top one is Johannesburg, the bottom one is Pretoria.
Yeah, the colors that are here on my screen is actually blue.
The color I've got is blue. And what's projecting there is green. The numbers are the same as what is in the document itself. Page 15. So the main issue here is that most of the accommodation seems to be coming from Pretoria and from Johannesburg in terms of the increase that was reported. This is the picture for SADC. We've got rooms in Botswana. This is Mesh. There are rooms in Lesotho. Most importantly, I would think the rooms in Zimbabwe, because Zimbabwe was not in the initial contracting. They had some reservations about the system itself, so they were not necessarily part of the donation. But now that we have got Zimbabwe, we've got Zambia, it does show. The two that are highlighted are just the trendsetters. We've got Swaziland at 229, and we've got Namibia at 191. So within SADC itself, we've got a total of 20,000. That are guaranteed, they are booked. But what we actually have a concern about is the dropping of the entire Mauritius. But these were contractual issues. This is purely the first transaction between Mesh and the Mauritius. Although I should say that. Although it's also not such a bad thing, because the number of people that would have been staying in Mauritius would probably have come to about 6,000. And that would mean that for the games, they would have had to be flights in and out, not the usual types of flights that would normally go to Mauritius. But overall, it does show that there is a spirit of an African World Cup in terms of the tourism aspect of it, as far as accommodation is concerned. These are just issues with regards to the contract, what I was explaining regarding at what time do they drop and so on. The next release will be on the 10th of April. Mm-hmm. That will be the final release. So after that, whatever figure Match is going to quote that we've got so many rooms, those are rooms that will remain with Match. They have already made payments. Mesh has already made payments with regards to what they had agreement. They had an agreement with the industry, and they said, firstly, it's going to be the hotel, and then the SMEs. So that's why it says the second payment to the hotels, and then the first payment to the SMEs. What they do, they pay the money in a holding account. If I have booked via Mesh, when I arrive at the hotel, I will have a code, which I will give to them, and they will be able to release that money. So it doesn't go automatically, so that the money is safe in the end. But those rooms that have already been taken up, the money has already gone through into that particular account. Now, one of the criteria they were using in terms of the release, obviously there was a whole issue about proximity to the host city, and they were using a 70-kilometer radius. But besides that, they were also saying when the games start, the earlier games, some games will not necessarily be that appealing, so people are going to come in small numbers at that time, and then there will be this other period where there's a huge influx of people, and then there's going to be a period when teams are starting to actually getting relegated, and once they get relegated, then the people are actually going to also leave with their teams. And as a result, then they look at those different periods, and then they actually select a peak period. Their peak period, I think they've selected, is at 15th of June. So it will fluctuate. In some instances, it might be a great game. So if it's a great game, that game might actually pull a whole lot more people, irrespective of what time it is and so on. And that would also be considered to be peak. So the whole issue of peak is quite important, because peak period obviously will not be, the cost will not be comparable to non-peak as such. This is the same thing I was explaining about Mauritius and so on. The pricing issue. Honorable Chair, you mentioned it in your opening remarks. It is an issue that has caught the minister's attention. There is a media release from the minister that was out on the 22nd, which was yesterday, with regards to this matter. In brief, there is allegations of price hiking. And that is a concern to the department. But at the same time, it is a matter that requires factual evidence of whether that conduct is being perpetuated. And if that is the case, then minister has said he is commissioning a survey that is going to look at this in detail. Some of the things that will be looked into are international trends with regards to the previous World Cups and so on. What were the prices in those countries? And what was the levels of escalation and so on, if there was? And whether these are actually people that are in the tourism business itself. It could be people that are actually not even in the business. It could be just people that are actually escalating prices of their houses, but they just happen to have a location that people would want to actually consume such an offered product at that particular time. But also to look at whether if some establishment is contracted with Mesh, inside that particular establishment, you have a situation where the room where Rian is staying and the room where I'm staying, because I've bought through Mesh the package, I'm paying far less than what Rian is paying because he didn't buy through the Mesh system and so on. But it is to look at all this and also to identify those that are actually just being opportunistic about this. But obviously, there is also an understanding that this is a peak period, obviously. World Cup comes to every other country not twice in a certain period of time. First time it's coming to Africa and so on. So you will find some people that might want to actually take advantage of that. But the position of the department is very clear on this matter, that this is not a sustainable conduct if it is taking place, and that it may have far too detrimental an effect on the industry than what the opportunists would want to actually make this quick buck from. There has been an initiative which FEDASA was leading. It's called roomsforyou.travel. What it is actually a portal where people can register to assist establishments that are not necessarily with Mesh and that would want to actually access some marketing platforms. They register themselves and they are able to get bookings facilitated through that particular mechanism. It would also assist with what they call last minute booking. In cases where you find yourself at the airport and you don't have any accommodation and so on, then you are able to actually also get through to that. This particular initiative, it's an industry initiative, but the most important part of it is that what they're investigating is, when it comes to SMMEs, instead of saying an SMME must pay, must accept a far lesser price so that it would then be at a certain point, they are actually going to then look at the possibility of a makeup. So what you have been charging throughout as your normal pricing doesn't get to be affected, and you get to actually access that particular system. So there has been significant uptake. So far, they reported, I think, 2,000 establishments that had already gone in. And part of the increase has been when rooms are being dropped by Match, then they are also getting that particular market. But the advantage is that you are actually going to have an opportunity to actually make those bookings right there at that particular point in time. That's what I was talking about. They are targeting that they will have about 75,000 rooms available on the system by the time they go live, which they intend to go live by March. And this is purely an industry initiative. But it is something that we feel is useful at this point in time, when you're going to have a situation where people are going to just come in and some of them don't necessarily have accommodation pre-booked. So those kind of problems will be able to be resolved in this. These were some of the assumptions that we're talking to, these assumptions as we're going along, which relates to the movement of the people in relation to the teams and where they are. These are the games. Royal Bafokeng Stadium, Phuket, Northwest. What we see there, the screen is slightly letting me down here because I've got a blue here which is very clear. And thank you. If you were to look at this screen, you would see that you've got only one team that is in Northwest as a team-based camp. The rest of the teams will be coming from Gauteng, Western Cape, Northern Cape, in that order. But what does this say? What it basically says is that if the people are staying where their team-based camps are, they will be traveling from all these places. And at the core of it is that you will actually require transportation to get these people from Gauteng to so. I'm not worried about the teams, because the teams are within the FIFA family, so they are well taken care of. But this is what the Department of Transport is grappling with. To say, how do you get all these supporters of these different teams from Gauteng and to Northwest and back, and make sure that they've had a pleasant stay and so on and so on. And some of them will actually stay around Rustenburg, but the reality of the matter is that most of them will be in and out traveling with their things and so on. This can be illustrated. I'll go straight to a picture for Pitamuka, because I think the other ones don't have major issues. But if you were to look at this, there's not in base camp in Limpopo. But you've got teams that are coming from Western Cape and KZN Lagi. And then you've got teams that are actually going to be coming from Gauteng. Now, to go from Gauteng to Limpopo is a lot more easier to drive them than to fly. But because it's World Cup and they have got other arrangements for the numbers and so on, for the teams it's fine. But if we're talking about the spectators, that's a different picture altogether. We're talking about spectators having to move from Gauteng. If you look at these are connecting flights, even for the, so they will go from KZN into Gauteng, from Gauteng, and then they go into the Brubai airport. But the airport capacity is also low. But once you look at the whole picture, then you will realize that transport in the main has to play quite a significant role, because people want to stay with their people. So this picture then says there will be a lot of transport requirements in as far as the games that are being played in that particular host city are concerned. So all the other pictures were actually giving the same kind of explanation. Overview of ticket sales. Reportedly, and honorable members, ticket sales information in terms of trends is something that we wanted to share. We wanted to bring that information here so that you would also see the trends. But you would understand that partially ticket sales information, because it's match, it's got price, it's got market sensitivity, because then it begins to tell you exactly where the people are staying. And they are also in the accommodation business in some way. So we somewhat understand that, but we're just saying that we try to also get that kind of information, because we thought this is the kind of information that would really give a very clear picture. What we have is aggregated information, and they are saying about 2 million tickets so far. So they are saying they will go up to 2.9 million of the overall ticket sales. In the last round, 79% of tickets that were sold in just in the phase 3 were bought by South Africans. We had some trends in terms of the applications. So these were still the applications. The real numbers are probably, you might find that USA in terms of that phase ended up with, say, 31,000 or something like that. But these were the applications. USA was still leading, followed by UK, followed by Australia, Mexico, Germany, and Brazil, which is also good because we're going to do an activation in Brazil. So probably those numbers are also going to increase. We're going to do an activation in Australia. So those numbers might actually increase much better than what appears here. And in SADC, we just put the trendsetters there. 2,500 Batswana are coming here. And we have got 1.7 Mozambicans that are coming to see the game. So this is a good picture. It begins to tell us, I mean, there are other SADC countries that are buying tickets. The picture that would emerge after the fourth round, I mean the fourth round, which has already started, is of 9th of February, the picture that's going to emerge from there is probably going to tell even a much better picture in terms of SADC and also those bigger trendsetters. And there could be emerging trendsetters as well. Honorable members would recall that the first two phases, some teams have not yet qualified. So as a result, before the qualification, people were not necessarily going to buy tickets. And we still anticipate that there's going to be tickets that will be coming from those particular markets, including those African teams that have qualified. Transport and energy. Arabu Chairperson, you wanted us to focus on this matter. Our focus as tourism, in as far as transport is concerned, one is to make sure that we continuously engage. There's been engagement at ministerial, there's been engagement at DG level. Our engagements are aimed at looking at three main things for tourism specifically. One is an issue about the issuing of licenses for the operators. The other issue is about the skilling of these operators, because the operators in the main, they focus a lot more on getting a bus from point one to point two. And while they're carrying tourists, those are issues that we need to look at and say, what then are we going to be able to do with regard to this? So that is a matter that they're looking at. And then there is also an issue around car renters. There's been a concern that came from the Association of the car rental association, and they are saying that you've got 350,000 people in the country, and each of these people, or a few of them, actually pick up tickets. Who is going to own up to this? So that's a matter that transport is looking at. And all these matters are matters that transport is looking at. These are matters that are discussed even at interministerial committee level, and they are discussed within the official committees and so on. The generators will be purchased. Department of Energy has that responsibility and the budget. And the airport fuel storage issue is also being addressed. The issue there is basically to say that we shouldn't find ourselves in a situation where we run out of fuel. Eskom has also been doing some work in terms of those substations closer to the stadiums and so on. So it's not just about relying on the generators, although they are quite reliable, but also to do it the normal way, if it works that way. Safety. There is a joint SOP plan which has been completed, but there still needs to be sign-off between LOC and SOP in terms of what are the kind of work, who's going to do what and so on. I mean, this relates to if there's any additional requirements by FIFA family, is that SAPS, do they bring additional people, who pays for that and those kind of things. But the plan is in place. They've been doing some dry runs with other events that have been taking place, like some games and so on. What we have been doing from our side, we have continuously engaged them in terms of our needs. There are two aspects specifically that we are interested in. One is if eventually the unfortunate happens, how do we handle that particular situation? How do we get the information back to the tourism authorities and making sure that that person is given the best comfort possible? It's part of brand management, but it is also part of our hospitality. It's not just about spinning what has happened. If it has happened, it has happened. But how do we make sure that we minimize the impact of whatever has happened to that particular individual? They are also looking at a possibility where some of the volunteers that are able to speak these FIFA languages can then be brought into the reservist pool. But obviously, the focus here, I mean, we have trained some people on language amongst our volunteers that we had also during the Confed Cup. So they are also looking at those people to say, can we get a person that if there is such a situation would be able to assist? And I've talked about the communications model at large. Main thing, obviously, I mean, if we could get SAPS finally to have around the host cities a dedicated resource that focuses on the event, and whenever something has happened, we know it is so and so. That will be a plus for us, and those are the negotiations we are busy with SAPS. But obviously, the whole security matter is a SAPS issue. Issue about the volunteers, there's been about 20,000 recruited. There's a schedule for their training and their interviews and so on, which will come after this. But at the core of this, we've got a training that is going to be conducted. We had a service excellence review, which was looking at the different service touch points across different value chains. And they then came back and said, well, we have found out some of the issues that have affected people in as far as service excellence is concerned, why we think certain things are actually not working the way they are, things like not knowing who a customer is, things like issues around attitude, where you get to a service point and you actually have to find ways of being nice to get the service that you actually deserve. And sometimes too much of a technical focus without people focus. And it also goes to issues of management. Around issues of management, interestingly, it's about empowerment and delegation. Where if I am at Goldridge City with my little daughter and her ice cream falls down, and there's a person who is selling this ice cream on behalf of Goldridge City, and she's busy crying there, for me to have a pleasant experience there and go and probably spend 20 more bucks elsewhere, they could be empowered to decide on that ice cream can be replaced. It's a small thing in the broader scheme of things. So some of decisions would require that maybe the third level manager comes to decide on whether that ice cream can be replaced or not. And I'm still waiting there for probably 30 minutes. And I'm having an unpleasant experience, and I will probably leave at the end of that period. So it's issues like this. What is then going to happen is that we are targeting to train approximately 250,000 people at service key points. This includes your port of entry, the home affairs people. It includes your restaurant people, and so on and so forth. But we really want to champion service transformation, and we want to be known as a destination that delivers in terms of excellence around service. This just to show this were the interview dates for the different cities for the different recruited volunteers and the training dates which they will have to go through this particular training. In terms of information, suffice to say that we do have GIS maps for products that are graded, and they can be found on that website address in our website for the department, www.tourism.gov.za. We also did an audit of available information centers across the country. We've got about 351 across the country. Different levels of capacity, obviously, and so on. But some of them, as we go forward, we'll also be looking at how best to actually look at these things to rationalize, so that when you go into one specific point, you know what you are going to expect. An area that is going to receive attention prior to the World Cup is they call them fenomenes, but it's actually when in our gateways, we need to actually have information that talks to the overall country. A typical example is one walks to Johannesburg or Tambo and wants information for destination Gauteng, which may not be easy. Chances of that one will find information for destination Ekurhuleni. Similarly, when one walks into Cape Town International, it's almost the same experience. Those are things that we're taking seriously. One of the things that we're looking at is to have information that will be disseminated at each of the ports of entry, be it land, be it air, but something that says, welcome to South Africa, this is the kind of experience you might have. So when we have got that thing, we'll probably also come here and show you what it looks like. But it would be comprehensive enough to allow consumers to explore South Africa without marketing any specific business, which is that companion, 2010 companion that I was talking about. There are new visitor information centers that were established, particularly in those old cities that really needed that kind of boost, Polokwane, Mbombela, Mangaung, and Nelson Mandela Bay and Rustenburg. These are completed, they are running, both electronically, and also you have got information in terms of the flyers and so on, and it's part of the whole legacy project. So. On the 8th of December, Minister launched a contact center. This number, +27 8708 3 4 4 6 3 6, this number is the same anywhere in the world. And the way it works, the charge is the same anywhere in the local call charge applies. So if I'm calling and I'm in Bulgaria, the local Bulgarian rates apply. And if I'm calling and I'm in South Africa, the local South African rates would then apply. I don't know if honorable members would want to test it. You would.
I think we will test it after the...
After this. Thank
yeah,
you very
I
much. Okay. It provides information on the whole range, accommodation, attractions, and so on. Emergency numbers are provided, but we don't provide emergency services. So it's a referral in a way. It's not possible. the number is in use. It's 087. Okay. We actually tested this with MinMec, and we made a booking in Cape Town. It took us about 11 minutes to finalize the whole process, but we were not on the phone. They called us back. So we have done the test and so on. The languages, FIFA languages, the green ones are the FIFA languages, but it also has Spanish and Portuguese, the best teams in the world. After Bafana Bafana is your Brazil, Spain, and so on. And it currently operates from 9 to 9 in all those languages, currently. But we'll then move to, and then it operates 24 hours in English. That will then be moving towards a 24-hour, 7 days a week in all languages as we are approaching the event. And they are actually going to do some campaign. It's hosted by Salavan Tourism. They are going to do some campaign to make sure that they actually generate more and more demand. Currently, its capacity is about, it's taking about 1,000 calls, but that will be improved to 10,000 calls per week. And what they are also looking at, a call has been made to all the provinces and the different host cities to say, let's make sure that whatever influx you've got after hours in your call centers and whatever influx you've got in terms of the overflow, if there's just too much demand, let's link up so that it can also assist in that regard, and given that it's got that spread of languages. Marketing, this is obviously driven by South African Tourism. What is more important is that there's a roadshow that started on the 17th, I think it was in Côte d'Ivoire. But what they are doing is a partnership with South African embassies inside the countries that have actually qualified. And they go into those places and then they actually have roadshows and make sure that this event is known and how to get here is known and what to expect is known. There have been advertisements that have been running since May 2009, BBC, CNN, and so on. And these are actually going across all the continents. There is a lot of information that is actually now available with regards to how to get here and so on, South Africa, the World Cup and so on. And it's actually a link that has been created in the South African website, South African tourism website, which is www.southafrica.net, and that link is 2010. Maybe one of the important things that we can look at here, we have talked before to the honourable members about the British Lions Cup and so on. Perhaps what we could highlight in this one is the activations that were done in Africa and in Europe and in Asia and America. Some of them are still continuing, and that will proceed until towards the tournament. Now, in terms of the domestic marketing, reportedly there is an increased demand that came from corporate South Africa to say, we would like to do this disky dance. So, and SA Tourism is willing to pitch the disky dance. If they get that request, they will definitely make themselves available. The other aspect which is probably important here is the marking of the 100 days towards the World Cup, which is the 2nd of March. This event is going to take place in KZN. And the Deputy President will be leading the national event. But there's going to be a lot of events in provinces and host cities and so on. So this will be something of significance. And obviously the other important thing is the road shows that are being done by SA Tourism with the IMC and SABC, GCIS and so on. The whole issue is, let's all wear Bafana jersey on Friday. We're doing that in the department. We're doing that also even if we're not at work as South Africans. It seems to have picked up a lot of momentum. And we are behind Bafana, and they're going to make us proud. These are some of the events that are still coming, obviously in Dara, and the 2nd of March that I was talking about, but there's a whole list of other events that are going to take place. Still have the International Tourism Board, so we've got the domestic exhibition, which is still taking place as we speak, and then we've got the current Sports Mega Event Summit. Okay. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Tarak. Then perhaps then we can, let's have a 5 minute comfort break, prepare questions and then ask questions.
But we get to 12:30, right? Or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we can have another round. Okay. So let me must interrogate these things, Chair, because you know it's getting close now, and if we don't do our work today, when are we going to do it? So thank you for the opportunity.
We really appreciate that, Chair.
That's good. Okay. Can I just make a general point? You know, there's a fair amount of information in this presentation, but a heck of a lot that's not yet either. And the presenter spoke quite a bit about some of the detail, about some of the plans that the department has. It would be really good if we could get some sort of substantive document outlining that, other than this, which is basically a lecture PowerPoint type analysis. If that could be made available, that would be great. All right, then the questions, Chair. Just for clarity then, obviously on page 9 there's a mistake. We're not based at Island Park, the founder of the farm. In fact, we're not even sure where we're based at this point. But I'm sure you know that. Yeah, well, they say they don't know about it, so that's a problem. But anyway, then on your room numbers, on your different slides, there are different figures for Rustenburg, if you had a look at that. So I'm not sure which one's right, because when you do the one broken down per province, there's a figure. And when you look at on your slide, page 23, then you're talking about 3,489 rooms. So on page 15, it starts off in 2,300, then another 208, 2,200. At least, I don't know what the right figure is. Potentially there are 2,500 rooms on page 15, but in fact on page 23, it's 3,489. Which leads me to my first substantive question. And I congratulate the presenter for picking up these issues. The problem game, as I see it from our point of view as the committee trying to make sure that this World Cup is a success, is the game on the 12th of June between England and United States. Okay? If one looks at the number of tickets sold to the UK, 41,529 tickets. That's likely to go up, I would imagine. And casual people also want to go. There might be as many as 45,000 people wanting to get into a stadium of 40,000. Obviously, they can't all go. But the fact of the matter is there's only 3,489 rooms. I don't know how many beds that is, but clearly we have a problem for that game. The other games aren't quite as popular. That game's already sold out. One of the 8 or 9 games already sold out. What is the plan there to actually manage the people who are going to Rustenburg, which is actually quite a long way out? And then are they all expected to travel back to wherever they're going to? I know their base camp is close by, but I'm sure they aren't all staying in their base camp. So I'm not quite sure how we're handling that particular game. And then let me just ask one more question, Chair, and I'll go with the second one. It's not dealt with in very great detail here, but the pricing issues page, and that's why I'd really like to see more information from the department on this page 90. One takes the point about the hotels overcharging, and I'm glad to see you've got this website as well as this number where people can perhaps find alternative accommodation which is more cost effective. And I really hope, and perhaps the department can supply a few more details, that we publicize that in a very, very pervasive way now, because people need to know they don't have to pay 10,000 rand a night for a room or whatever it is that's going around these horror stories. But my fear is, Chair, and I think it's already been proved by events, is that pricing of hotels and accommodation isn't even an issue anymore, because people can't even get to our country because of the cost of flight. And I take the point that there's going to be some kind of survey to establish the facts. But surely we know the facts by now in terms of what it costs to get our travel with various airlines. And surely we need to actually act fast, because already in the last week we've heard that the number of overseas visitors that are expected, 475,000, is now being reassessed at something like 350,000. So potentially we've lost 125,000 tourists already, and that's a huge number. And that's because they simply can't afford to get here. And if you can't get here, it doesn't really matter what the hotels are, because you can't get here. So what are we doing about the pricing of the air tickets? Let's solve that problem first. And I worry about the fact that we're already, FIFA's already selling tickets in Category 4 to cater for the fact that we're not getting in the people from overseas that we expected. It's almost as if the horse is already bolted. And to now start a survey, when FIFA already given up, in essence, and said, well, you know, scrap the Category 2 and 3 tickets and make them Category 4. It seems as if we're missing the boat. Now, I would like the department to respond quite substantively to that, because I think we're actually falling behind the race here, and it's going to be very hard now to tell people, well, cancel your other plans that you made as an alternative, come on, Chair, because we sorted out the pricing problems in terms of the air flight. But I'll take the opportunity, if you offer me, Chair, for more questions later. But those are two real big concerns I have arising from this presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think firstly we want to thank the department for the presentation. Firstly, on page 19, on the pricing issue, the last point there, that the minister is engaging the industry. My interest would be, when will this committee, or how will this committee know what the results of that engagement are? Because I think, you see, we are answerable to our community. And as you know, yourself, this has been up in the media for some time now. And of course, it does tend to have a negative effect in the sense that it gives the impression that the South Africans will be exploiting the visitors. And I don't think anyone of us would like to see that. But can we have information as to what the result of that is going to by the minister at some point? Then, chairperson, on page 23. No, let me start with page 23. About transport. Yes, about transport. I think it's also in other pages. On page 34, for example. Yeah, I think page 34. That there is no progress in this regard. I think that is worrisome, chairperson. Because really, the success of the activities of 2010 will depend very much on how efficient the transport is all over the country, whether it's people coming from outside, from the neighboring countries to the metros, or whether it's people coming in the cities. Otherwise, if transport is not that well arranged, definitely, there will be some problem. We are concerned about that. But then I wanted to propose, Chairperson, that I've been thinking about this for some time, that we as a committee have been interacting with other portfolio committees, particularly the Home Affairs. But I think transport is also very important. How would it be if this committee, because we are concerned about the welfare of the visitors, whether they are team members or just visitors, as this committee to us, they are all tourists. And therefore, I would suggest that when we meet with the transport committee or with the department, whatever is better, so that we can find out from them exactly how they are faring in preparation in this area of transport. My proposal, and energy on page 34. The generators, it looks like they are still going to be purchased. I just wanted to find out whose responsibility is to purchase those generators. And I think the sooner that is done, also the better. Don't want to end up with a situation where we're going to find that we buy generators that we probably will find have got faults. You know, I mean, it's such an important area. But I just wanted to find out whose responsibility will it be. Now, on volunteers, I'm not quite sure what it is. It's not numbers, but it's in that area on skills and service levels. I think one of those pages, the one that starts with MDT, is contributing towards the recruitment of more or less 20,000 volunteers for 2010. I've got two questions here. The first one, how does this figure relate, for instance, to the many, many other statistics that we have received before or on this area, you know, as so many people will be trained for various activities? Is it related to what we have received previously from other sectors of the department or NGOs working in this area? or is it a new speaker altogether? And the second point, for me, this point is of concern. We understand in the high schools there is a subject called tourism, and some students are doing this subject. Last time I raised the question of how the department is involved, what are the department is involved in the syllabus, but that's not the point now. What I'm raising here now is when we recruit a volunteer, wouldn't it be a good idea to find out about some of these high schools that are doing this subject, particularly the senior ones, let's say for instance the final year or the fourth year at high school. I'm still counting in the old fashioned way. I'm thinking of the 5-year course in matrix when I speak of the fourth year. To recruit some of these youngsters to be part of this volunteer, so that you can also be able to tell whether the work they are doing at school is actually in any way relevant to what the department is trying to do. And it will give them experience also, and it makes their subjects more meaningful than just doing it theoretically in the classroom. I was just thinking, you know, that if it is possible in the areas where we shall be recruiting to identify some of the schools and, if possible, recruit some of the students there as volunteers so that it can make their learning more meaningful as well. Thank you, Chair. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say that the biscuit dance is very entertaining. If it can entertain a person of my age, then you must know. It's really entertaining. It's beautiful. So let's go ahead with it. Whoever is demanding it, I think let's keep it. Thank
finalize all the rules and everything. You know, in our communities, we are still stuck with people that were asked to, were visited, and they were told to make the touch-ups in their rooms. They were given what to do. But now they are asking, we were given time to do this, we have done this with our money, but now we are hearing that we have finalized the room issue whilst we are not consulted. Then when it comes to that, how can you answer those people, you know? Because we want to know how they select the rooms, because we're not part of that, but now they are asking to us, because they are given the task to renovate their houses, now they are not going to benefit to the whole issue of this thing, the tourism, whilst they are the subscribers of tourism and all this. Also the other thing, in terms of the recruitment of volunteers, I think it's focused in housing, because the few that have applied in the Western Cape, you know, I know of two boys that then were asked to go to housing for interviews. For me, I had a shock. I thought maybe all the provinces have the points of recruitment drive where at least youngsters will benefit. Really, as Umanjobi have already said, that there are kids that are dealing with tourism from a high school level, which now we trust at least, and their parents are unemployed. We thought this issue of volunteers is also going to ease some of the burden to their parents, because there is incentive at the end of the day. I think that also you need to look into it. It's a big challenge in our community.
Okay, I think let us check information on the page on volunteers. It should be page 39, after page 38, where they have interviewed them. Okay. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chef. Page 4, can we get clarity on the criteria which was used in marketing the base camp for teams? I'm saying this because most of numbers are from out there. When we were on the oversight, we had a concern that there are only provinces that are marketable, Cape Town and Gauteng. And this shows that it's reality. And also, you can see on the issue, why is that the department will only concentrate on Tuan? Tuan is also in Gauteng, on the volunteers. That shows that Gauteng, the department is focusing more on Gauteng than other provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And it's obvious that the more accommodation is for Gauteng. But you mentioned that the radius distance from the place where the teams will be accommodated is between 50K. But that is going to happen when the very same team is coming down to play at Cape Town. They're going to fly there and go back on the same date, or they need to be accommodated. Say Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, Durban, all those places which are far from Gauteng. And the department is always mentioning that they encourage everybody to wear the Bafana Bafana jersey. I think we should have provided as well less than 10 here, just to demonstrate we are commit not to. Thank you. Come together.
Chairperson, I would like to know the difference between the tour guide and the volunteer. Because he has been howling, saying, well, the tour guides must be trained and all that. But now I hear most about the volunteers. And it is unfortunate that most of the volunteers will come from Gauteng. I think we are very bright from Gauteng. Maybe not... Chairperson, but it's just a comment. Really and truly, it is very, very important for us as members of the portfolio committee to wear the Bafana Bafana jersey on Fridays. I am doing it. I've long started. As I'm talking, it's right in my hanging in my wardrobe here in Cape Town. So really, it's just that, Chairperson, we don't take things seriously, really. You think it's for young people or whatever. It's just a matter of us becoming serious. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mama Zihana. And let us also get information on the issue of our interaction with people that have had an experience on these things, like Germany and Korea, particularly with regard to transport. I think we have enough private stock to satisfy all demands of the World Cup, because it doesn't happen at the same time. So have we perhaps tried to use those experiences and marshal all the coaches, the taxis into operation in those areas? Perhaps those are the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not alone. I've got Rian Ocamp with me, his head of ministry, he will also be able to deal with some of the questions. We will provide as much clarity as possible, and where we probably will not be able to give that clarity right here, then we will be able to provide that information at a later stage. The issue regarding the statistics, Honorable Kwambo, I think that question at the core of it is about the presentation of the data itself. And I think it actually probes right into the data, which gives us also more information in terms of what needs to actually be elevated for presentation. There are two figures. One is a figure that says these are rooms that are contracted by MECH. So the ones that are contracted by MECH would be purely those that the businesses have decided will do business with MECH, whereas the other one is talking about the availability within Rustenburg within a particular radius. Then the whole issue about Rustenburg itself is often confused as an extension of Gauteng. And that provides a bit of a cushion because there's sufficient accommodation in Gauteng, but there's also a lot of accommodation actually in Northwest. So there will be people that in some instances will come in and want to go. We can't stop that. But there will be people that would want to come in, and there will be enough to stay. But there are also people that would want to go back to housing after that and so on. But it has some great places also. Rustenburg and the surrounds, there's quite a lot of good things that people can actually do there. So those are some of the issues. And from what the Honorable Chair said, they will also be people coming in for the game and then going out. So it's not going to all happen at once. And as such, that's why there's that flexibility in terms of the availability and so on. The ticket issue, that's why I alluded to the fact that we would have wanted to actually come here with exact figures. Who has bought tickets for which exact game? Obviously, they consider that to be a bit market sensitive. But what happens usually is that under normal circumstances, you would have a particular game and its subscription is X amount because the fees are X amount. And then you have got the people that have bought from that. So there are people that will be coming, for instance, from USA, but that are not necessarily going to see all the US games. We'll see some and will not see some. So it allows for that as well. But in the end, what we really need to get ultimately from MECH, obviously, once they've got rooms confirmed and so on, that information will then be available. I suppose it's part of what the Honorable Member was saying. We should make available information as we go forward. I think the question regarding transportation issues, the committee members have dealt with it in terms of getting the Department of Transport or the other committee to discuss the matter, because the details that we've got is only in relation to the specific areas that we have presented. The results of the survey, Honorable Manjawe, is going to be, we will make that available. Minister is going to meet with the industry and discuss what this means, because that would then say this is what the industry has been doing and this is what needs to be addressed and so on. But that information will be available after Minister has actually pronounced on it, and that will be Rian, is it much?
Yes, honourable member, that will be closer to the end of March. The survey started yesterday or starts today. It will take about 3 weeks for the survey to be finalised. The survey is commissioned that Grant Thornton will be doing the survey. They've been appointed to do the survey because we felt also it's important, although industry also responds to the various documents and the various allegations, that an independent survey should also be done in that regard to ascertain the facts, to make sure, are the allegations of overpricing the people that are in the normal tourism industries, which are the hotels, the normal guest houses, or are they the private people that are taking chances and renting out a huge house in Camps Bay, where a millionaire or a billionaire comes in and he takes it up? So we have to get to the bottom of that. It's important for us as a destination. We've always marketed ourselves as a value for money destination. And I think as a responsible government, we have to look at, is there any truth in these allegations? With interactions with some of the industry, they also mentioned to me that, yes, there may be some problems within the industry itself, people taking chances. I know Cape Town specifically did a survey. Also, the past couple of weeks, where they technically found out that about 80% of accommodation establishments are not overcharging. But unfortunately, the 20% is giving us the bad name. So we have to take all of that into account. But furthermore, a person that is doing a booking from abroad, and that also relates to Honourable Crumbrock's question. A lot of them are going through a tour operator. And we would really encourage tourists, people that are making bookings, to check on the prices that the operators are quoting them. Because some people in the industry say, but that's not the price we gave, so check with the tour operator that is giving you that price. It's giving us a bad name. And that's things that we really need to check on. And we're encouraging people to absolutely double-check that price that they are being quoted by the operator, if that's the same price actually of phoning the hotel itself and double-checking with that. And that's why it's also important, and Honourable Crumbrock, you also mentioned regarding the rooms for you issue. That's where we specifically identified the gap, that there are people that want to do direct bookings, and we have to market that opportunity very well, because there is where they can pick up very good prices and good pricing. It's important to always make the difference between the match pricing structure, which is working on an operator system where you get many more issues in your price for your match accommodation, transport, all of those things are included. But there are people that want to do all of that separately. So that website is going to be very important. Between December and February, we sent out to all the industry sent out an email and phoned and SMS'd all people on our available database to say, it is now available, please upload your stock onto the website. So as soon as the website is live, which would probably be at the end of March, we will market that very aggressively. And then also the call center will be linked to that database. When you call the call center, you'll also be able to navigate a booking on that specific website, which will further assist you in that regard. So I just wanted to add that regarding pricing, So the minister will make the research available, and he'll have an interaction with industry to discuss the outcomes of that and a way forward in dealing with that. The industry, the Tourism Business Council, is having a press conference today at around about 12 o'clock in Gauteng. They're doing it together with some of the other associations, also to clarify a lot of these issues. It'll also be a broader press conference dealing also with transport matters and all those kind of things, because they are also picking up that from the transport sector, there are two or three people that are very good entrepreneurs that are trying to rent out. They've got three or four cars, and they're trying to rent out their cars. So there are a lot of issues at this stage that people have to look at. So I just wanted to clarify that.
The question on the generators, it's the Department of Energy. They will be able to provide detailed information on request with regards to even the capacity of each individual generator and the testing and so on. But it suffice to say that there were generators that were also tested during the Confed Cup. So it is just to make sure that things are in place. So it's a continuous process. But I think they will be able to provide a lot more detail with regards to this issue. Volunteers, housing. There are two issues about this. One is that housing has got more volume in terms of the teams and so on and so forth. But having said that, each host city and each stadia in particular has got people that come from those particular places. There was an advertisement that was put out. This one we are doing jointly with FIFA. So it is the advertisement that was sent out, and FIFA was saying they are looking for volunteers and so on, and we went through a process of identification and so on and so forth. It might be that in the process of application, a person chose a host city that happened to be in Gauteng. That's a likelihood. But generally, every host city has got a significant number of volunteers that are actually going to be working there. And in terms of the age and so on, that's also the normal labor standards also apply. But obviously, there are people that have got a background of tourism qualification that maybe are not yet working, or people that are actually studying towards that and so on. But it's likely people that are 18 and above, there was a maturity aspect to it as well.
Mr. Chair, if I may just add on the team base camps, I know a lot of them, or 9 of them, are in Gauteng. Obviously, a lot of provinces marketed themselves to host them. The final choice was eventually left to the coaches of the various teams. Now, one issue that they took into account, some of the coaches said they want to be at altitude because the important matches will be at altitude. So that's why you actually see that most of them are around Gauteng and around the more altitude areas. They felt to prepare their teams, that is one of the most important factors they want to take into account. So I know there was also fierce competition between provinces. I know at the last moment, Mossel Bay's team was moved out, and KZN stole that team, or that's what the Western Cape are saying. So there was good competition between the provinces in that regard. But at the end of the day, it was a decision by a coach and the management of a team saying, we have to take into account what that specific area offers, how easy will transport be in and out, where will most of our matches be allocated, and at the end of the day, seems to me one of the most important factors was altitude.
Thank you. The question regarding renovations and whether those renovations, I mean, the renovations that were done with the anticipation that they will be contracting with MERSCH. The original call by MERSCH included SMMEs, but the understanding was that these are SMMEs in tourism. There was no inclusion then of a homestay. Most of those that were SMMEs and they needed to actually get a grading worked with the tourism enterprise program. And the assistance was provided so that they could actually then gain the graded status and then they could then contract with MERSCH. But there were other people that also felt that there could be an opportunity to get something out of this system. To ensure that information was publicized widely, there were workshops that were held across the country to inform SMMEs as to what the criteria was and what opportunities existed. And those that then decided they want to contract, they went ahead and they actually then contracted. But the ones that perhaps did not do might have perhaps in some instances been businesses that were not necessarily operating as tourism businesses at that particular time. But if there is a tourism business that was actually aiming at contracting with MERSCH, there might have been contractual issues and they probably were not able with the contractual arrangements and so on, because it's purely a business transaction in the end.
Regarding the matter of tour guides and volunteers, tour guides are the officially registered and trained tour guides that register with the National Registrar of Official Tour Guides. There's also provincial registration offices for that. There's a national database for that. those are tour guides that specifically get contracted from companies, have their own businesses, etc. The volunteers specifically will be around stadia and, for instance, at ports of entry. Those are people that will only assist you with information regarding your area, regarding the country, etc. They are not official tour guides. And it's a very important question because we have to make that distinction because they do not have the responsibility of an official tour guide. So if people come into the country and they book a specific tour guide, they'll get an officially trained one. The volunteers will be trained on knowing your country, having more general information, and be able to assist people to go to X, Y, and Z. You may also probably ask us, but why is the training of the volunteers only taking place now? And why didn't it take place previously? Now, obviously, some of the volunteers are only, the interviews are only taking place now. But research has shown, and it was benchmarked against one of the top US companies, that said such training should happen as close as possible to an event, such a big an event. Because they say people tend to forget, and they rather should be up in the hype of the event, so rather do it closer to the event than too much ahead of the event. So that's also one of the reasons that the training is taking place so close to the event. So I just wanted to clarify that also for the reasoning for that.
They are also not paid, eh?
This is stipend. The last question, Che, was the benchmarking with the other countries. Before the preparations started, through the LOC and through the different departments, there were different studies that were done to look at how did the others do this, and also through cooperation agreements in terms of getting the people that are that have just had a prior experience. You would remember there was a whole delegation that went to Germany and to look at how they were doing certain things and so on. If we were to look at, for instance, the accommodation experience, and we take an example of Germany, Europe is a small continent, and it is easier from a transport point of view to actually decide that I'm just going to go and watch the game and come back to my home country the same day. And that is what happened largely during most of the games that actually took place, the World Cup games that have taken place in Europe. But then we have got to internalize that particular experience in the context of South Africa and say, what does this mean? Surely we are saying we have got sufficient accommodation in the country, but we are saying that people would also have to move around. It is the same. Interestingly, it is the same phenomenon when people in the Northern Hemisphere, because the bulk of the people in the world, they live in the Northern Hemisphere. When people in the Northern Hemisphere decide, I'm going to go from London to Shanghai, or I'm going to go to London, from London to Pennsylvania, it actually takes them much longer time to actually get there. But they don't necessarily feel it because they're used to that kind of movement. So coming down to South Africa is not necessarily an extremely such a long haul compared to actually moving within the Northern Hemisphere but across. But it is a mindset, and it's something that we need to actually work a lot harder on to actually make sure we present what we have down here that people can come and actually consume. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. You always accommodate me, and I do appreciate that. Can I just follow up on the two questions I asked, which I don't really feel comfortable with the answers? I'm back on page 23, which is my glasses on. And maybe it's just my assumptions that possibly the department can help me with. If you look at the 26th of June, Chair, it's got the round of 16, 1C versus 2D. Now, unless there's a major surprise, that's likely to be England against Serbia, okay, which is going to be a very big game. I see Rion Copy's agreeing with me, which is great. So we're talking about 3,489 rooms in total. That's been clarified. That's available. If there are going to be somewhere around about 45,000 fans from England, clearly there's not enough rooms in the whole of the Northwest to accommodate them. I don't know what the department is working on in terms of how many beds per room. Is it about two or three, something like that? Two, okay. So there's around about 7,000 beds available. But there's another 33,000 people that can't stay in Northwest. So clearly they're going to have to come from somewhere else. I assume most of them will be based in Gauteng because that's where the accommodation is. That game, as does the game on the 12th of June, starts at 8:30. 90-minute game, 15 minutes or so for halftime. Leave the stadium. No one's going to get out of that stadium about 10:45 at night. Is the idea that the vast bulk of these people, two-thirds, perhaps 75%, will then be traveling that night? Because there's no other way to do it. Now, that's a late, very, very late time for people to be traveling in a fairly isolated place in the country. Are we saying as a department that this is not an issue that necessarily affects tourism? In fact, all these people are responsible adults, one hopes, and they will, through tour operators and their own arrangements, make sure they've got a bus or a taxi or whatever it is taking them back, and therefore it's simply something to be sorted out by themselves? Or are we taking a more active stance in this thing and suggesting that, in fact, we need to know or have a fair idea whether
the arrangements are doable or not, because that's what I'm not getting from the presentation. Are we leaving it to private enterprise and to the fans, or are we trying to actually manage this ourselves? In which case, how does it work if it's the second? I'm relaxed if you're telling me it's the first, and if you're telling me that, in fact, all these fans have made arrangements and there's going to be luxury buses and what have you taking 30,000 people back to Gauteng, then that's fine. But I would have thought that the department would need to know that that, in fact, is the case, and if not, then we need a plan. And I don't understand from the answers I got whether there was a plan. On the issue of SAA, with respect, I don't think I got an answer at all there. What is actually happening with the SAA flights and the other flights coming into our country in terms of the prices they're charging? Because I think the accommodation thing, the department answered quite well. I really like the initiative that the department has been taking on the Room for You approach. I think that's an excellent idea. There's a toll-free number you can phone. Will help. As long as they're publicized widely, I think we can assist the fans coming out here to find good quality and good value for money accommodation, which is what we want. We want these people to leave our country with the impression this is a value for money destination. That's what's going to provide the bedrock to our tourism growth in the next 30 years. That's why we all sit in this committee. But the flight part, I really don't get the sense that we know what's happening. And as I, with the risk of repeating myself, Chairperson, surely we must know by now what prices have been charged. I mean, you go onto any website of any one of these international carriers, you can look it up. You don't need to do your survey. I think the survey that Mr. Okump was speaking about was really more about the accommodation side of things. So can we not find out what the situation is with the flights coming in and solve that problem fast? And I think the department needs to take us into the confidence. All of us, I can't speak for the ANC or COPE or ISP, but my impression over this entire period is that every single political party in this country is linking hands, if I can use that term, supporting this tournament, supporting our team. We all want to make a positive difference. I think we can be trusted with this information. Then a question I haven't asked you. You know, if you live in Maritzburg, where I do, you would have noticed in the last month a major headline. Someone did a survey and said the headline letters were not as big since 1963 when President Kennedy was assassinated in Texas. And it said, filth, filth, filth. Our monuments all over the country, many of them are in a state of disrepair. The greening program, which we heard so much about, doesn't seem to be really happening. What is our department doing now to actually start sprucing up our country, cleaning up the litter, taking care of some of these monuments, which people are going to go to and either get a very good or bad impression? Because I do understand that we don't want a situation where any government department takes over the functions of other departments. I mean, that would be seen as treading on toes and interfering. But what has the progress been made to address some of the things that are going to create a bad impression? We want to leave the best possible impression. I'd like some more information on that. Spoke about a lot of it towards the end of last year. Now look at my city. My city's dirty now. It's under crisis management. They got a week and they run out of money and they can't collect the rubbish now. I mean, you know, our cities are getting dirtier and the tournament's getting closer.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I'm a bit happy with the answer that I received in terms of this SMME. There's a challenge. People, at times, they want to say government doesn't assist the small emerging companies. The people that are benefiting now are still people that benefit in the past. So then that's why I said that we need to have a way of answering people. When a person comes with this awkward statement that we've been appointed to fix our accommodation, now we don't get any response. We've been through the training. That's what I said, we've been through the training and all those things, but now it's quiet. But you heard that everything is finalized. Now that then I have this information, I've never said then, It might be the problem with what you have been doing, then it doesn't lie with the government at the end of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether they answered my question while I was here, because I was asking that since they mentioned that the radius distance from where the clubs are going to stay, it would be 50 k away. But what is going to happen
say, from Gauteng and go to Port Elizabeth, and then they finish late. Are they going to book there, sleep there, although they have to fly when they have finished back to Gauteng? And I also mentioned about the Jews. I was serious about that. I was not just joking. It was a number of 10. They can just supply us with Jews. The issue of transport, is very, very, very serious. I don't think the department can just leave it with us. The department should talk to the Department of Transport, because it can mess the whole thing if the transport is not moving like conveyor belt. If you will find the people jammed at the airport, jammed in the township, jammed next to the stadium, they can't get transport to move to their destination, it will cause a lot of problems. Department must also talk to the Department of Transport, not to depend on that we should invite the Department of Transport, but they haven't got anything to tell us what is their final arrangement with the transport. Thank you, Chairman.
I think you shall be the last, and then we get the responses.
It might be irrelevant, the question that I'm going to ask, but I feel, is it possible for a committee, tourism, one day to sit with the sports and recreation committee, just for them, because I think they're playing a very important role towards this 2010. Just to sit with them and try and talk, because I think we can get more information from them. Thank you.
I think they will look at their program. They are aware as well that they are busy with legislation for some 2010 regulation laws. So over to you, Mr. Karake.
Thank you. I will also ask Rian to address some of the questions, particularly the SAE questions. The issue about the game on the 26th, potentially England and Serbia, highly likely. There are two issues. One is that the accommodation that appears there, which is approximately 3.5, is based on the 50-kilometer radius. But across the province, there's accommodation as well, but it might be that some of it is a little bit further than perhaps if people were coming back to Gauteng. It will be dependent largely, obviously, we do agree, on the transportation. There is sufficient accommodation for this game in Gauteng, which stands just outside half the pier spot. And that's a reasonable traveling distance. There is a transportation operational plan that has been developed by the Department of Transport, but I would want them to present it, to give a very clear picture, because it talks about plans they've got, the game, and so on and so forth. And that detail is a detail that they would be more comfortable to actually present and actually provide more clarity with this regard. But having said that, it goes back also to the question regarding the 50-kilometer radius. The 50-kilometer radius is just to indicate the best convenience, where people can just get a taxi to bed and so on. But in terms of areas that are outside that 50-kilometer radius, which could even include 52, 53-kilometer radius, are not necessarily the ones that we're using to benchmark it. And if we were to go, for instance, to the other host cities, you would find that there is accommodation outside that particular host city. But there will be a lot of transport dependency, and that transport dependency is what the Department of Transport is factoring in. Ariane.
Yes, I just wanted to add to my colleague's comment regarding the Rustenburg issue and the operational plan there is for each and every match. he also alluded to the 50-kilometer radius we have on our slides. But match specifically does not necessarily look at a 50-kilometer radius. They look at what they call fit for purpose for that specific match. So if they see, together with the Department of Transport, that there needs to be chartered flights going out from some city airport or there, they add that to the grid. But as he mentioned, we must also realize that on the 26th, specifically, when that match is taking place, there's no other match taking place in Gauteng at the same time. So Gauteng would be the overflow for all of them, and they will have to, most of it will be land transport, getting them back to Gauteng. But transport and industry have a specific committee that they are working specifically on the operational plans of how to get that done. At this stage, we specifically facilitated some of the meetings for the transport industry on a lot of these matters. So we would really ask the committee to ask transport to come and brief you specifically about that issue. Regarding flight prices, it is a very difficult issue to deal with. Flight prices for big events, no matter if it's for the World Cup, for the Olympic Games, it's a matter of supply and demand. Obviously, we are concerned about high prices in that regard. But if you have seen, there are some other carriers, I'm not going to mention specific carriers, we are also asking tourists to shop around for flights because there are specific carriers that have very, very good prices coming into South Africa. And if you followed also some of the media in that regard, some airlines were unhappy with other airlines and the pricing that is so reasonable and cheap on some of the other airlines. So we are really asking people to shop around. The airlines specifically mention also to us that they have capacity issues on those flights. They've got the normal people coming in. They've got the business tourists that they have to look after during that time. So it's a matter of supply and demand, unfortunately. But we are asking people, please shop around. There's also a system where a lot of the airlines, if you do, for big events like these, bookings quite ahead of time, your prices are quite high. The closer you get to the event, the prices drop because then they release other seats again also. So it's a very, very complicated matter. And we share your concern regarding high prices coming into the country. Unfortunately, with interactions, they are indicating to us it's a matter of supply and demand. And South Africa is not a specific target in that regard. We must also remember that South Africa is a long-haul destination for those countries. Long-haul destination flights are always more expensive than the short-haul flights when you are close by in Europe, when all of that is taken into account. But we share your concern. I would also suggest maybe discussing this matter with the Department of Public Enterprise. I know specifically today when the industry is briefing the media in Sandton in Gauteng, some of the airlines are also at that briefing to state their case. I hope we'll have more clarity when we've seen them. We had the interaction, the minister had an interaction last year with some of the airlines, and he wants to continue having a yearly kind of think tank with some of the airlines on pricing issues, on all of those issues. When the government took the airlift strategy, I'm jumping a little bit around, the airlift strategy was to ensure that more carriers come to the country. And that airlift strategy was, I think, adopted in 2006, 2007, opening the skies to us. Unfortunately, the recession hit us very hard. There's a lot of capacity that can be brought into the country, but the airline industry as a whole is suffering. And we would have actually wanted a lot more carriers to come into South Africa by now, but unfortunately airlines are themselves not coming to the country because of their own problems. So we must also realize that that is also a contributing factor in that regard. I just wanted to mention one other thing, Chair. And I know the committee has visited a lot of our land border posts, points of entry. The points of entry regarding air is very well equipped to deal with visitors coming in. But there are concerns regarding land visitors, specifically our visitors from Africa. Our border posts are not necessarily geared. You know the backlogs there in normal circumstances. And the facilities aren't great there. And we as a tourism department can have a volunteer program and we can tell people, we can be as friendly as possible. We can assist those people, our home affairs officials there, to be as friendly as possible. But a person standing in a queue for 2 to 3 to 4 hours is not going to be happy. So I know Home Affairs is working on that, and I know also the Department of Public Works are trying to do their utmost best to also assist during that time regarding our border posts for our African visitors, which I think is going to be a very important area to also look at during that time.
Honourable Chairperson, the greening program, it falls within the Department of Environment. It has commenced. They are looking at aspects around the water usage, aspects around the usage of energy. And they are looking at issues of waste management, right at source, and so on. That has already started. There will also be active, particularly with waste management, within the stadia. They are also going to be dealing with those aspects. It's a program that they're going to roll out across all the host cities, and we also welcome that program. That it is actually going to address some of the issues that the Honourable Member has alluded to, but also it's also got a small element that talks about just conscientizing people to maintain their own areas as clean areas, so that it is not necessarily just about us then coming back to rectify what has already gone wrong.
Mr. Chair, I just want to add to that, specifically regarding some of our heritage sites, some of our national monuments, etc. One of the areas coming out of the tourism sector strategy that says look at niche markets for tourism, specifically speaks to heritage and cultural tourism. And in developing that strategy, we're going to have to work very, very closely with the Department of Arts and Culture, provincial governments, and also local municipalities and district municipalities to deal with this issue of tourist sites, which are also heritage sites and cultural sites that should be kept, well kept, because there is a problem, as you specifically mentioned, but the greening program is supposed to also assist with that program because they link up specifically with host cities on the greening program. So I would suggest that if there is a problem in your own city, that it be taken up through the local committee in the city with the greening program specifically, because they specifically couple with the cities themselves so that they can move in there and identify that.
Finally, the question about the Jesus. We will communicate that to the accounting officer to say whether we can or we cannot. We don't have the mandate.
Thank you. Okay, I think it is then over with the presentation. And thank you very much for a very informative presentation, well prepared. But I think we shall still interact if necessary. And it has been a great effort so far. We think that perhaps we shall have to do a few touch-ups for our great country in order to have even a greater tourism destination. I think, and once more, thank you very much for that presentation. And then we go then to our next item of the agenda. The next item of the agenda is tabling consideration and adoption of minutes of the previous meeting, that is of the 16th of February. What I shall do there, it will be tabling the minutes, and then I shall request that you consider and read those minutes at home, and then at the next meeting, then we shall adopt those minutes. They are short, and then it's better to read them as soon as possible because a lot of things you still remember. The longer you drag, then it becomes very difficult to adopt very accurate minutes. With those few words, thank you very much, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen.